Cool gimmick, but it's just the ghost of Breck, everyone. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. And this is the verse that I wanted to read. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So I hear a lot of descriptions growing up in the church. I hear the gospel described. And we talk about how, well, once you know Jesus, then when God sees you, he doesn't see you anymore. He sees Jesus' righteousness. And that's true. But I don't want us to think that somehow God's just a scanner, just this big scanner, kind of looking around for anything that looks like Jesus. And he's just like, good enough, good enough, good enough. God made you exactly who you are with your personality and your qualities. And yes, we need the goodness of Jesus. But God's not just blindly sweeping in all the Jesus-labeled people. He chose you, and he likes you, who you are, okay? And he wants to make you your full who you're supposed to be in him, okay? He knows us. He loves us. The Father himself loves you. So 2 weeks ago, Christine talked about being free from anxiety, and it was probably the best message I've heard all year. Sorry, Breck. It was like so good. There was no oppression. It was just, it was awesome. God wants to free you from anxiety. And then the next week, Breck talked about contentment, which might have been the second best of the year, Breck. It was a good one. Okay, he talked about contentment and about just trusting God in every circumstance. Yes. And knowing that things are going to be okay. Yes. Because you know who's in control. And I want to continue on a similar theme. I've been thinking a lot for the last few weeks about developing a rich interior life, which sounds kind of corny, but I haven't really seen the show. Actually, when I've tried to watch this show, it just bores me to death. But there's a show called Alone, and it's about these people who are set out on Vancouver Island, and they have to survive all alone. Like, usually those shows, they have like a camera crew, but they're just given like a handheld camera, and they just have to survive as long as they can, and whoever lasts the longest wins. And so my friend really liked this show, and he was telling me about it, and he said, last year, there's this guy. He was awesome. He would just meditate and like recite poems to himself, and he was good at survival, but he said, you know, this is a contest to see if you like yourself, to see if you can stand being just alone with yourself for very long. And I guess this guy was doing fine. He had a shelter, and he had food, and he was just healthy. And one day, he just woke up and just said, well, I'm at peace with what I've done. I'm going to go home. He could have totally won the contest, but he didn't need to. He was just totally content. And so that got me thinking, you know, what is my interior life like? Do I like myself? Do I have a rich interior life? Do I meet with God inside of myself, not just outwardly here at church, but in my day-to-day happenings? And I started thinking, well, I want to cultivate that, and how can I do that? I think that peace, like true peace, is key to having a rich interior life. Because if you're just worried or anxious or scrambling around trying to keep up, I don't think that you have time to really meet with God in here. So what is my interior life like? Well, I'd have to ask myself, how do I react to situations, and how do I react to people? Not when I have time to prepare, but like when it just happens, when someone just calls me and they need to get into the church. And I'm right next door. It's not a big deal. But do I feel like getting off my butt? No, I don't want to. How do I react then? Am I like, this is fine. This is great. I'm happy to do this. Or am I just a little put out? We live in a beautiful world that's full of potential for glorifying God, for loving our neighbor, for living a full and rich life. And we also live in a world that can be incredibly violent and heartbreaking. And I hear a lot of responses to evil that add up to, let's fight fire with fire, right? That's a phrase that people use. And I imagine this like originated as a metaphor for like fighting forest fires, you know, where you have to do like a, what's that called? Like another burn, yeah.
Backfire.
Yeah. I guess that's where that started. And in my own mind, I do this. If you cut me off while I'm driving, there's a good chance I'm going to flip you off or I'm going to yell, right? And it's just, it's going to happen. I'm going to be a bad driver. I'm going to be a worse driver in response because that's just what comes out. If you insult me, even if it's a joke, I'm going to insult you back. If you inconvenience me, somehow I think I have the right to have a bad attitude. Fight fire with fire. And as I've been thinking about this, I get really tired of doing this because I know that the best way to fight fire is with water, right? To just put it out, not to add to it. And I think that peace is that water. And I'm not talking about worldly peace. I'm not talking about, hey, we're at peace, so we're not going to kill each other. Just, we made an agreement, so I guess we won't shoot. And I'm not talking about being comfortable, because I think peace and being comfortable are different things. We don't have to be comfortable to be at peace. We don't have to see how everything's going to work out to be at peace. So I mean real Jesus peace. Peace that comes from knowing God, that's not determined by my circumstances. I was reading in a Thomas Merton book this last week, and he was talking about how we tend to think that we're the center of the world, right? So he was getting really heady, and he was saying, oh, well, Descartes said, you know, I think, therefore I am. And we just kind of follow that thought, and I think, therefore I am, so everything I think is right. Everything I think is, if I can't think it, it must not be true. You know, and basically he was saying, if we have ourselves as the center, then everything else just kind of loses value. And God eventually just kind of becomes this idea that we have to like hold on to, but there's no way to support him because we can't prove him. And so, oh, you know, and then eventually we have these crises. But he said, Merton said, if God is the center, which he is because he made everything, if God is our center, then we can rest in that. And we can find ourselves in him. And find our purpose in him. Find peace, knowing that he put us out here and he's going to take care of us. So today, I wish that we could always just be like meditative and really slow on Sunday mornings. I always kind of just want to have like quiet times, but I don't want to make everyone too uncomfortable because I know sometimes that's a stretch, but I'm not saying that might not happen today. But I want to invite us all to push into God for a peace of the peace, because he's got just a huge thing of it, and he's ready to give you a slice, okay? So, we're going to look at a few different verses. Pretty much, I just pulled down my concordance and looked up peace and flipped through the Bible. But I want to start with Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the Beatitudes. You could probably tell it to me if I asked you what it says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So I would say that as sons and daughters of God, which we are, we're to be peacemakers. Does that make sense? If people who make peace are called sons of God, then since we're called sons of God and daughters of God, we ought to be making peace. It's part of who we are. It's part of our identity. These are just notes on peace, just thoughts about what peace is and the role it has and our relationship to it. Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. So peace is something to be planned for. And I want to ask, do you do that? Do I do that? Do I plan for peace? How often do I actually expect conflict or turmoil or some sort of anxiety? Or how often do I just settle for hoping for peace? Well, I just hope it all kind of works out. I think it's going to go badly, but I'm just hoping that it's going to be fine. When right here, I think it says we can plan for peace and we can find joy in that. And why can we plan for peace? Because of God. Because we know that his heart is to have peace and is to bring peace. Okay? So let's plan for peace. And I think that this might look like sometimes when you pray for someone and you just thank God in advance for something. Do you ever do that? Like Dan wanted some prayer for his shoulder and I was just, you know, prayed for it to be healed. But I also was like, God, thank you already that this is healed. Right? We have a confidence. We know that God works for our good, that he's caring about us personally, not just blindly because we know Jesus, but personally, each and every one of us, because he values us and likes us. So thank you in advance. I think that's planning for peace. Okay? And I think we can do that with more things. And I'm sure you've got examples of your own. The Psalms talk a lot about peace. Peace happens all over in the Psalms. In Psalms 4, I should have bookmarked all of these, but I guess it's okay. There you go. Psalms 4, verse 8. It's the end of the psalm. Whoever wrote this says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." So in Jesus, in the peace of God, we can both trust our physical bodies, safety, and our internal bodies, right? Our spirits, our souls, right? So I will both lie down. I feel comfortable laying down. I'm not going to get crushed by something. I can sleep, but I can also trust my mind to you. I can trust you that I can stop thinking about this and get some rest. And know that you're going to work things out, God. Both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And then as I was looking through all these verses, it seems like peace goes hand in hand with righteousness, which was an interesting thing. And so here's a few verses about that. Psalms 34, 11 through 14. "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?" Now pause there. Desires life, loves many days that he may see good. I think there's a thought there. Are you planning for peace in the way that you see the world the longer you live? I'm only 26. I don't know. But I hope that by the time I'm Otto's age, I'm seeing a lot of good. And I'm seeing the Lord work in the world. And I'm expecting it. I think that's important. And I won't be disappointed. Good to hear it. That's awesome. "So keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So here it's like, don't do evil things. Chase after peace. You could almost just put righteousness in there and it would sound the exact same, right? Seek after righteousness. Seek after peace. Psalms 37:37. "Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace." Again, righteousness and peace hand in hand. And there's a future for the person of peace. Peace just brings more peace. Doesn't it seem like? There's a future for the person of peace. Okay? Then we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. This seems a little out of place, considering it's July. Usually this is a Christmas verse. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." A prophecy about Jesus' coming, setting up his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that we're a part of, that will be marked by peace and by righteousness. And then Isaiah 60, verse 17. This is a chapter that literally fell out of my Bible And because it fell out of my Bible, I read it. Because who would skip to Isaiah 60 on a whim? I don't know. But it fell out of my Bible, and it's been one of the biggest blessings to me. It's just this huge prophecy about just about the future success of Israel and how God's just going to take care of his people. But in there, in verse 17, at the end of the verse, it says, I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. In God's kingdom, we are ruled by peace and righteousness. And now I want to take us back to John chapter 14. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of the morning. Chapter 14, verse 15. So again, Jesus in 13 washed the disciples' feet. He says, one of you guys is going to betray me. And he says, I have a new commandment that you love one another. And then Jesus foretells Peter's denial, which always seems like a bummer of a passage. But if you don't stop at the chapter break, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Right after he says, you're going to deny me. So even in that, there's grace, right? So Jesus is going on, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And my footnote says that helper could also be replaced with advocate or counselor. He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Okay, so this kind of this idea of like belonging, right? And not being abandoned, not being deserted. He's telling this to the disciples because he's physically going to leave. But I think he's telling this to us. The helper's coming. The helper's here. You're not alone. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Okay? So I don't want to forget, this isn't Jesus saying, now go fill up the law. Now go fulfill the law. Right? Because Jesus is literally like the next day going to free us from the law, free us to be able to be righteous in him. But he's saying, if you love one another, if you follow this new commandment, if you follow my example, serving one another, which he also just did, washing their feet. If you do that, me and my dad are going to come and we're going to make our home with you. Right? And you can think about all the things that you think about with home. Like a good home, all the images, consistency, healthiness. And then Jesus says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And this was important for the disciples, but I think it's really important for us. Because we didn't get to hang out with Jesus and watch him do miracles. But we get to hang out with his Spirit. And he actually says that we'll do greater things with the Spirit. Okay? So we're not like second-class believers. He's made room for us. And this is the main reason that I wanted to read this passage. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. But when the Helper, I'm going back up to verse 26, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. If we want the peace of God, we have to hang out with the Spirit of God. Okay? Jesus leaves us a few things. He leaves us his righteousness, he leaves us his peace, and he leaves his Spirit. And I think all of those are bundled up together. And I think that because in chapter 16, he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning truth, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. So the Holy Spirit's involved in those things. I think the Holy Spirit's involved in convicting us of peace, giving us peace, okay? So it's not a mystery. Finding peace, we don't have to climb to the top of a mountain and meditate for the rest of our lives alone in a cave. If we want peace, we have to seek out the Spirit. If we want to hang out with the Spirit, I think he just laid it out. Love one another. Serve one another. I and the Father will make our home with that person. The Holy Spirit will be there. Okay? He's with us. And remember that God himself loves you. You're not earning this peace. He baked this peace pie in advance, knowing that you're going to be there to eat. Get a slice. That's mostly what I had to say, but communion's going to be a little different today. So would the people I asked to come up real quick? Okay, so I just made some signs because Steve Pasinger gave us a box of this cardstock and I thought I should use it. And I like making signs. But what I'd like to do today, we've got four different things here and we're going to be in four different corners. I'd like you to come up, get communion, and then go to whichever sign you feel led to go to, whichever one you think you need. Do you have peace? Do you want to just thank God that you have peace about something or that he gave you peace about something? Go there, gather as a group, maybe share a little bit, pray with each other, just kind of let it be organic, okay? Do you want peace? Go to this sign, okay? Do you want to have peace? Is there something that's just tearing you up? Do you want to make peace? Are you at odds with someone? Do you need that? Come to this sign. Do you want to bring peace where you go? Do you want to be someone who just comes into a situation and you are so connected with God and so just believing in his good peace and planning for his peace that when you show up, no matter how hectic and chaotic and terrible the situation might be, you just bring in that refreshing peace and put out some fires with that good stuff. Okay? Jordan's going to play a song. Breck and someone's going to pass out communion? All right. Cool. Are you sure?
God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green, in quiet streams. Even though I walk through the valley of death and dying. I will not fear, 'cause you are with me. You're always with me. Your shepherd's staff, it comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will comfort me, will comfort me in the house of God forever. God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green, in quiet streams. Even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me. You're always with me. Oh, your shepherd's staff, it comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will comfort me, will comfort me in the house of God forever. House of God forever. Thank you. Your shepherd's staff, it comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will comfort me, will comfort me. Your shepherd's staff comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness.